Well, hello there, everybody. Glad you could be with us. How is everybody? In a word. I hope you're doing well, whatever your circumstance might be. So glad you could be with us. I'd like to share something briefly. It'll start before we open with the first song for tonight. A story. Two infidels once sat in a train headed to Chicago discussing Christ's amazing life. One of them said, I think an interesting book could be written about him. It is the Bible, but that's not what they said. The other replied, and you are just the man to write it, but set forth the correct view of his life and character, tear down the prevailing sentiment as to his divineness and paint him as he was, just another man among men. The suggestion was acted upon and the book was written. The man who made the suggestion was Colonel Robert G. Ingersoll, the well-known agnostic attorney. The author of the book was General Lew Wallace, governor of New Mexico Territory. And the book was Ben-Hur, A Tale of the Christ, published in 1880. In the process of constructing it, he found himself facing the unaccountable man. The more he studied his life and character, the more profoundly he was convinced that Christ was more than a man among men, until at length, like the centurion under the cross, he was constrained to cry, verily, this was the Son of God. Our opening song tonight, if you know it, please take a line, make it audible, is missing its title, called Come Christians, Join and Sing. Come Christians, join to sing, Alleluia, Amen. Loud praise to Christ our King, Alleluia, Amen. Let's all with heart and voice before his throne rejoice. Praise is his gracious choice. Alleluia, Amen.
I'll give this a try.
Come, lift your hearts on high, Alleluia, Amen. Let praises fill the sky, Alleluia, Amen. He is our guide and friend, to us he'll condescend. His love shall never end. Alleluia.
Praise yet our Christ again. Alleluia. Amen. Life shall not end the strain. Alleluia, Amen. On heaven's blissful shore, his goodness we'll adore, singing forevermore. Alleluia, Amen. And what a thought. Life shall not end the strain. In heaven and the earth made new. Wow. Thank you, Jesus, for purchasing it. Thank you for providing us a way of escape. Well, before we open the Bible tonight, let's have a word of prayer. Precious Father in heaven, thank you for bringing us together again in one piece, and we thank you for those who have been sick in the past for giving healing, whether it was slowly or quickly, and it's continuing. I pray their faith is very much encouraged as they look to your son, Jesus, the great physician who never lost a case when the case was given to him by faith. And faith is not a code word for a figment of our imagination, but faith is based on thy word, and thy word is truth. It is factual. Thank you for the Old Testament. If it weren't for this, we wouldn't know who our Savior was. We wouldn't know what he was predicted to do, how he would come, when he would come, what he would do, what would be accomplished, and what he would be doing now after almost 2,000 years since he walked this earth. Thank you, Jesus, for making yourself real to us, making yourself known to us through the prophecies. And we're, of course, going through a prayer that leads to answer in prophecy. And we look forward to reviewing and learning anew things that you would have us learn, because we are believers that you're able to make brighter the things you've revealed in the past, and bring anything out that we haven't seen yet, or I haven't seen yet, through other brothers and sisters, and to share our comments, almost like having our own commentary on what we are seeing of your love when we relate it to our own lives in the process. Thank you so much for the privilege of meetings like these. I pray that all our brethren and sisters that meet in various areas around the world, and especially the camp meetings as well before the year's out, will be especially filled with self not being seen. Holy Spirit, the Jesus will be on the front and on the back of them, on the back and front of us, that our words and our actions will be thought of from the point of view, will Jesus do this? Would Jesus say this? Would Jesus act like this? We thank you for taking care of Sister Amita and Brother Willie in their first week or so together as husband and wife, and pray that they will be a fantastic team as you would have them, especially if you impress them to travel together as well. We uphold the light ministries. We thank you for providing a number of statistics, at least for 1 month, that has given a great understanding to Brother Bob of the likelihood of the year to come. And indeed, please, if it can advance your cause, if it can bring more glory to you, help the provide or some other way where statistics can be provided, and perhaps if there's such a thing, even better statistics provided, if there is such a thing, for the future, to let it be known in specific terms that we thank you. Even if this doesn't happen this way, we thank you. We already have a fantastic idea after the decades of labor. And we thank you that brothers and sisters around the world have given us their own testimonies and strengthened us with this ministry that they have had after the calling that they received from on high. Strengthen them to continue, especially those who just started on the track, perhaps baptized this week, 1 month ago, a year ago, that they will renew like eagle's wings, and be strengthened when they see the privilege of having accepted to continue therein, just like they first believed. Thank you for making the way plain that it's the word that we base our life on. And if we don't find answers to things that we really need, we can keep striving, like Daniel, in prayer and supplication. And if we're earnest like him, just like him, we too will get answers that will be in no uncertain way. And with your blessing, there's no sorrow. Thank you for doing this. In Jesus we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, reviewing what we looked at last week, we found that in the first year of Darius's reign, Daniel... Good day to you, sister. It's so good to see an American say that. It feels quite friendly and family. And I love your accent. In the first year of Darius's reign, Daniel understood by the word of the Lord that came to Jeremiah, that God would accomplish 70 years in the desolations of Jerusalem. Daniel sought the Lord therefore. Daniel, who, as we were told in the previous chapter, who fainted, was sick certain days and astonished at the vision of chapter 8, and no one understood it as well. Daniel, I think Brother Bob pointed out, probably 88 years of age, an elderly man, does not make excuse that he is too old. He doesn't do that to set his face unto the Lord God. He doesn't say he's too old to do that. I mean, this is too much. I've received such a revelation, can't understand it. I think I'll give up, but takes hold of it and to seek by prayer and supplications with fasting. And in those days, they also used sackcloth and ashes. And I think Sister Joan brought out, just and Sister Michelle, just how itchy that would have been. Quite penance-like, wasn't it? I think there was a comment last week in the room. And we don't have a biblical record that Daniel made excuses to not seek the Lord by prayer and supplication in his life, even when he was a youth or middle-aged. There's hope for us, isn't there? By prayer and supplications, fasting, sackcloth and ashes, his prayer started with these details. O Lord, the great God, who keeps covenant and mercy to them that love him, who keep his commandments, he corporately intercedes for Israel's sins, iniquities, wickedness, rebellion, departure from precepts and judgments, that we, our kings, princes, fathers, and all the people of the land, and notice the attitude, all ye brethren, on the same level, listened and obeyed not thy servant, the prophet. And that's the prophet praying, corporately. So that brought us to chapter 7, continuing Daniel's prayer. And would someone like to read verses 7 to 10? And, of course, anyone that wants to give any comments in addition, always feel free to do so. We'd love to hear from you. And a text as well. We appreciate them.
O Lord, righteousness belongeth unto thee, but unto us confusion of faces as at this day. To the men of Judah and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem and unto all Israel that are near and that are far off, through all the countries whither thou hast driven them because of their trespass, that they have trespassed against thee. O Lord, to us belongeth confusion of face, to our kings, to our princes, and to our fathers, because we have sinned against thee. To the Lord our God belong mercies and forgivenesses, though we have rebelled against him. Neither have we obeyed the voice of the Lord our God to walk in his laws, which he set before us by his servants the prophets.
Amen, brother. Thank you for that. Coming across very clearly. And, you know, it's fascinating here that we're starting off tonight. Righteousness belongs to the Lord. The Lord's not confused about what's going on with his people, which you might be led to think that he could be because the people should be his and his alone. that Daniel tells the truth. It's got nothing to do with God that we have this confusion of faces. He's not confused. He's still righteous like he ever was. And he even says that as it is to this day, including all Israel. And the contrast between God's righteousness and the unrighteousness of Israel brings out that God's dealings with mankind in general and with Israel in particular, which is what we're discussing here, he always manifests righteousness. He doesn't change. He's no respecter of persons and no respecter, because human beings make up nations, no respecter of nations. And isn't it so true what he pointed out in verse 9, that mercies and forgiveness belongeth unto thee? And what a hope that gives to all of us. God, thank God that mercies and forgivenesses belong to God. Something that we all need for all our whole life. And, you know, looking at Israel's backsliding and rebellion, Daniel remains confident that the Lord, because of his great mercies, so he's not relying on anything that might be called righteousness on their part or even his part, but he believes, despite their backsliding and rebellion, that he could remain confident because that's what the Lord's like. Mercies and forgivenesses, not just like what we're going to get now if we're honest and faithful and humble and contrite, but what it's been in the past. And because it's so great, that mercy, he would be ready to forgive those who come to him with a contrite heart. And of course we see, as it finishes off in verse 10, Daniel pleads with God on behalf of Israel, which he is a part of. And as we find out throughout this prayer, it's so close, the connection that God has with his people. They're called by thy name. And yet it must be hard when they're not acting like children of the heavenly King for God to bless. In fact, it's impossible. And thank God he doesn't, he sticks to the truth. He's a faithful parent. He won't make a deal with unrighteousness. He'll issue discipline. And as he's pleading and Daniel's confident via God's mercies and forgiveness, he's clearly bringing out the compassion of God and in an enormous way, as best as language can describe. And then he contrasts it with the simple